Before we start, I just wanted to make a point we didn't mention last week. Last week we spoke about the H. Carter Sapir Zeitzner. I forgot to mention something, and I almost killed myself afterwards, and I realized I forgot to mention it. What street are we on? Baruch Dvani was famous, and basically, when they captured Adolf Eichmann, who was one of the biggest Nazis, right? So they had what's called the Eichmann trial. They caught him, they snatched him, they brought him back to Israel, and they tried him in court. And Baruch Dvani was testimony number 26. In his testimony, he took out a book, which was the Eish Kodesh. And he read from the Pia Zetzner's speeches, and he used that to try Eichmann.
That's cool.
Hints home.
So what did he do? Where did he say that he read?
I'm not going to go back to now, but you can watch. I'll send you a link. You can watch him reading H. Kodesh in court to try about how terrible things were, etc. So, anyways, it's just pretty wild. I forgot to mention it, but it's like it's where we are. Okay.
That's cool.
Once upon a time, Chassidus had meant emphasis on inner truth and fervor. A return to nature, to genuine beauty, to identification. A chassid would see a tree and become that tree. He would hear the song of a shepherd and become that song and that shepherd. That was his way of coming closer to the essence of man. He had no need for castles and servants in order to feel at home in God's creation. To possess meant nothing. To be meant everything. Thus, it is no coincidence that the heroes of the Baal Shem Tov's legends were mostly beggars. His way of telling us that it is more important to possess oneself than to possess. More important to be than to appear. And that is where we begin. Because for the first 100 years of Chassidus, that was what things were. You hear stories, the more and more stories you hear, people were beggars, they were in the streets, they were wandering, they had no money, they had no anything, I was just in Ukraine, trust me, they had nothing there. And now, it doesn't matter what you have. It matters inner simcha, it matters we're getting beaten up by the goyim around us, and still we'll dance on the Klozenberg Rebbe on Shmini Atzeres. It matters that we'll be able to sing Eish Haschayil in the Warsaw Ghetto. It doesn't matter what's going on around us, it matters that we're connected to Hashem, it matters that we're besimcha, it matters that we have ourselves no matter what. And that is where the story of the Rishner begins. Because the Rishner played a different game. His name was Rudolf Friedman. I know a guy at one of my campers on Jolt. His name is Alex Friedman. He's sent to the Rishner. Every time you meet someone named Friedman, hey, do you know the Rishner? And they're like, who's the Rishner? He'd be like, I'll tell you. But wait. The Rishner played by a different game. The Rishner was born end of the 1700s, 1797. Okay, he was born at the end. Who else lived around that time? Rabbi Nachman lived around that time. It was early. He knew Rabbi Yitzchak of Berdichev. Even Rav Hirsch. It was early, until the 1850s. It's when the Weinstein family moved to the United States of America, in case anyone was wondering. The Rishner played a different game. But let's back up a little more. Original chassid was... Who was the first chassid? Okay.
Rafi.
We'll call him the Baal Shem Tov, but really it's the Magid. Because the Baal Shem Tov was kind of like the first Rebbe. And the Baal Shem Tov was number one, then came the Magid of?
Mezrich.
No, also one of Berdichev, but the Magid of Mezrich. The Magid of Mezrich had a son. And most people don't know about his son. His son's name was Avram, Rav Avram the Malach.
Cool story.
Avram the Malach. Why was he called the Malach? He barely ate. He barely did anything. He just davened. Tisha B'Av would start. He would put his head between his legs. 12 hours straight. He would sit like that. And by the time Tisha B'Av was over, he'd be in a puddle of tears. He didn't eat for weeks. He was on another level. He died actually pretty young because he didn't take care of his body. He was more Malach than a human being. It takes something fascinating. We spoke about the Alter Rebbe, right? Mm-hmm. Alter Rebbe was a Talmud of the Magid of Mezrich. Okay, Magen Mezrich had all these incredible Talmidim, Reb Zusha, Reb Meilech, the Alter Rebbe, Reb Avram, his son, and he paired them up into Chavrusas. Like any of your Rebbe's, like he gave Chavrusas. The Chavrusa of the Alter Rebbe was Reb Avram the Malach. Easy knows, yeah.
That's a good guess.
And the story goes like this, so wacky. They were the first day they were learning together, they learned Maseches Beitza. And the Alter Rebbe, because what was his first name? Shneor, right? He knew Torah's Nigla, Torah's Nistar. And he started learning Maseches Beitza together. And the Alter Rebbe basically goes through the whole Maseches Beitza in one shot. Straight through. And when they finished, Rav Mamalach says, okay, that was nice. And then he shows them that the word Beitza, when you mix up the letters, it spells Hashem's name 12 different ways. Like he found 12 shemos of Hashem in Beitza. Good, it's good that you don't understand. I don't expect to understand that.
Exactly.
He said, Hashem's name is hinted to 12 times in the word Beitza alone. And then, the Malach goes through the whole Maseches Beitza that Alter Rebbe just taught in Nigla, and went through every single sugya, telling what it means in Kabbalah and Nistar. That was Rav the Malach. His son's name was Rav Shalom Shachna, and his son's name was the Rishner. So the Rishner was the great-grandson of the Magid of Mezrich. He wasn't just a Talmud. He wasn't just like a student of a student. He was family. And his father, Shalom Shachna, and him were kind of one unit. But what his father, Shalom Shachna, brought into the mix was rebellion, was revolution. It's not just... The earlier Hasidic Rebbes, they weren't about following. They weren't about, let me just... Like, look at the early Rebbes we talk about. They're not the same. They're all different. Each one was their own light. Each one was their own world. That's why they're so fun to talk about, because each one was a whole midah, was a whole universe. And look at us. And Rav Shalom Shachna said, you know what? Let's begin something new. He died very, very young when the Rishner was only, I think, 16. Rishner got engaged at age 7.
Wow.
Married at 13. I mean, then the days they got engaged very early, because, like, why not? Like, you're getting set up anyway. So you get money, you get whatever, and then you set it up. Got married, I think, at 13. And I became the Rebbe at 16. Because his father died, his brother died, that goes balagan. But the Rishner, what was the Rishner? So now you have to come with me a little bit to Rishin. Now, Eita, please get the other light off. It's better when you can't see, then you can really see what's going on. So, that's what Master Ugwe taught us. He taught the panda. You might have eyes, but you don't see. So you have to sometimes take away your eyes so you can see. That's the Chora, the Pshat. So who is the Rishner? So let's travel back to Rishin, which is in Russia. And the palace of the Rishner. Like we said, every single Rebbe was nothing. They had no money, they had no anything. They had dirt, they had no clothes, they slept on park benches. Comes the Rishner. From a young age, from the age of 3, he was a prince. Age of 3, the age of 5, he didn't listen to anybody. He did what he wanted. I'm the Melech. Grows up, builds a palace in Rishin. Palace. They have pictures of what his palace looked like. His palace eventually in Sadigur. He had a chariot with gold with silver handles, a white chariot driven by four white horses. He wore a gold yarmulke. He wore beautiful robes. His shoes were covered in diamonds. On Purim, Pesach, I'm everywhere. On Pesach, the dishes were gold. This was Rishin. In his house, he had a team of chefs to prepare the food. They had jesters. He had musicians, which would play music all day in his palace. Everywhere they would travel, he would travel with an army, with a group of 100 people. Chefs, jesters, musicians, people do his clothes, maidservants, etc. And this was the Rishner. It's a little weird, no? But guess what? Nobody had any questions. No one attacked him. No one approached him and said, what are you doing? This is Chassidus. This is what it means to be a Jew, to have stuff. What are you? You're a Rebbe, you have stuff? Nothing. Everyone visited him from Libya, Yitzhak, Berdichev. No issues. Even Rav Shimshon of Falhirsch, it wasn't Hasidish. He visited the Rishner. Everyone came to the Rishner. Why? See the Rishner. Elie Wiesel writes that he would speak with his father about the Rizhner. And every single time he mentioned about the Rizhner, he would smile. The Rizhner was handsome, he was beautiful. He was tall. He looked at the Rizhner. The Rizhner, right, there's a famous story with the Magid of Mezhich, right? The Magid of Mezhich's great-grandfather. The Magid of Mezhich's house was burning down, and his mother was crying. And he asked, well, why are you crying? And she said, the Magid said, well, who cares? It's just stuff in the house. And his mother said, no, but in our house we had a book of our lineage that we went all the way back to David HaMelech. The Magid of Mezhich descended from David HaMelech. So the Magid said, don't worry, I'll start a new book. Right? And so that means that the Rizhner was a descendant of David HaMelech. He was Malchus. Right? We speak about Rebbe's different Midos. The Rizhner was Malchus, Tiferes, glory, beauty. And it didn't make any sense at all. So the real question is, what's Pshat? Why was the Rizhner allowed to do this? Why did nobody say anything? Why did no one have any claims, any tainas, any anything? And we can't answer that question yet. But I'll tell you what he said, because this is fascinating. His approach as the Rebbe, he was wise. People come to him for advice. He didn't even teach Torah, really. The Rizhner gave advice. The Rizhner would say, like, there's no Sfarim of the Rizhner. How do you learn about the Rizhner? From people telling stories. There's no book. There's no, like, base Yisrael, whatever. Shundavar. So what was so special about him? I'll tell you something interesting. That there's a good Maisa. That there were people like that were beating up some of his chassidim. So what did he say? He didn't like go into the heavenly court like other rebbes would do and like, you know, smite them down with lightning. He said, okay, so work out. Every morning the Rizhner would go horseback riding and he would chop wood to stay fit. The Rizhner wasn't into miracles. The Rizhner was into just be a good Jew, be logical. Derecha derecheinam, Judaism is sweet. That it wasn't about miracles. It wasn't about, it was just... It was like sort of level-headed, but calmness. Derecha derechei Noam, let's say, was the best thing. As his life went on, I'll just tell you quickly how the rest of his life finished. He was in Rizhin, and then the Tsar got jealous of him, because what do you think? You're the king, I'm the king, yeah? So the Tsar made a libel that he was trying to take over the kingdom. And eventually he was in jail for 2 years. They had to get him out, he ran away to Austria. Most gewaltig thing I heard about the Rizhner. So he was in Austria, and they were going to give him a passport. Austria was run by Turkey. Sorry, he was a Turkish citizen. So he's out to get a passport when he left Russia. They were going to give him citizenship. Do you know where he said his city is? He's citizen of what? Meaning, when you get a new passport, you got to say where you're from. You know where you're from?
Israel.
Same thing on my son's passport. Jerusalem. Originer living in Austria, living in Russia, I'm a citizen of Jerusalem. In a way, he was Yerushalayim. In a way, he was. Anyway, so eventually he made it to Sadigor. The Rizhner had 10 kids. You recognize these names because this is what came from Rizhin. Sadigor, you recognize one or two. Husyatin, Charkov, okay. This one, you know, Skver. Vizhnitz, all this came from Yisrael Rizhin, right? And the greatest, was the greatest of them all, the greatest hadlaka and lagvo meiron, mitzvah shem, zeh.
Bian.
Yes.
Where did the Bian go to high school?
MTA.
The current Bian went to MTA. They went to MDS also. Plucked him out, said, bro, we need a Rebbe. Went to mitzvah shem. But this all came from the Rizhner. So the question is why? What was it that allowed the Rizhner to be what he was? What's Pshat? That's one question. And one answer is just mystery. We don't know the answer. Some explain that the Rizhner had such greatness was because where does the Satan come to catch tzaddikim, to catch people and mess them up? Where are they going to go? Where did Tzadikim hang out? Beis Medrash, the shul, not in the palace, not with horses, not with whatever. So the Rizhner hid himself in the material. something we don't understand. A proof they say to the story, to that idea, is that they once saw the missionaries walking in the snow, and they noticed that he had blood trails behind his feet. And they know they looked closely, and they realized that his gold-studded shoes had no heels, because he was walking on nothing. It looked like it was fancy, but bad sin, there was really nothing there. That's one approach. But there's a very, very different approach. It's not just mystery. But it's that you have to think about where the Jews were. Where are we? It's 1800s. What happened before? The Jews have been in Galus for 1800 years. They've been in Ukraine, the lowest place in the world. Poland, Russia, it's freezing, it's cold, it's depressing. All you want is for the day to be over when you're there. You know what's the most common drink in Ukraine?
Borscht.
Do you know what vodka is?
Something.
What's the point of drinking vodka? Because life is terrible. There's a bottle right behind you, right? Nemirov vodka, okay? It costs less than water.
Yeah.
It's not borscht.
Because life was terrible. And imagine you're a Jew. Imagine you're a Jew. And it's 1810.
The national church.
And your family's been living in Gullus for 1800 years. And for 1800 years, the Jew has been told you're a rat. And you've looked at yourself like a rat. We've been beaten up, killed, murdered, everything under the sun. Raped, v'chule, v'chule. And there's no hope. It's not like, oh, like there's a dream and someone's going back. There's nothing. Israel's desolate. Who can even talk about Geula? Who could talk about Mashiach? We're nowhere. It was the Holocaust extended for for almost 2,000 years of just terrible situation for the Jewish people. And then not to mention the 1600s, Shabtai Tzvi comes along, destroys the Jewish people even more, pretends to be Mashiach. We're nothing. We're depressed. We're on the ground. The Jewish people were never lower in history than they were in the 1700s. Never, ever, ever lower. You can't even imagine how they didn't give up. You cannot imagine they didn't give up. Could I say that I wouldn't have given up? What's the point? We're not making it out. We've been in Galus forever. We're not getting out. It's so funny for us to say these words in Yerushalayim. But you have to be where we were. The lowest place. So depressed. And we were so depressed. And then for 5 minutes, we were so excited from Shabtai Tzvi, he's going to bring Mashiach. We're finally getting out of here. Converts to Islam. It was a joke. We fall off anything we had, even lower than we were before. And then comes the Rishner. And a Jew who's in such low a place looks up and sees a palace with a king, with singers like the Levian, with music, with food, with gold, like they never even thought of, never even seen. And the Jew said, you know what? Maybe there is something out of this. The Rishner came to the world to remind the Jewish people, we are kings. We're not rats. We thought we were rats. And the Rishner said, you know what? This is from Shlomo Karlin, I think. He was the Rishner's father's Rebbe, who the Rishner learned by when his father passed away. But last week we learned the greatest thing in the world is to do
somebody else a favor.
The greatest sin in the world, said the Karliner, and the Rishner quoted this all the time, was to forget that you're a prince. The Rishner told each one of us, you are a prince. Every Jew that came to see him, they weren't coming to hear a drasha. They came to look at him. This is what it could be to be a Jew. A melech. Malchus, the Rishner was who we are. The Rishner took a midah that's part of who we are. Part of creation of us, the spheres. One of the spheres is Malchus. Part of Hashem that's within us is kingship. The Rishner said, don't forget, you're not a rat, you're a king. And can you imagine what that meant to see? That's why no one had kashas on him. Because the Rishner reminded every Jew who he really is. That's what the Rishner meant to the world. And you know what that means? You go to yeshiva and your Rebbe tells you, you do this, you're going to Gehenna. I saw what you're doing last night on your computer, you're going to Gehenna. That's chinuch, you know, like, you're going to Gehenna if you do this. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. You know what the Rishner said? He didn't tell anybody not to do anything. He didn't tell anybody what's going to happen if you do something wrong. He just said, like, you're a king. Does a king descend into the lowest places? Does a king get his hands dirty in the muck? Does he hang out with the pigs? No, the king is on horses. A Jew should be on horses. A Jew is not in the most disgusting places in the world. A Jew is in Yerushalayim. A Jew is beautiful. And that, when you're a chassid of the original, you don't do averos, not because like, oh, I'm nervous about how hot Gehenna is going to be, but because that's not who I am. I don't go there. I'm a prince. And that's the world of the original. The world of the original is to be a prince. The world of the original is to realize I am a king. And when you take him for real, then you follow in his footsteps. But don't forget one thing. And with this we'll finish. Is that the Rishner reminded us we're kings, but the Rishner was also a wild mystery. Like, don't think you came to one thing and now you understand the Rishner. Because I have no idea who the Rishner was. This is something that I understand from the Rishner. But this is just a funny mice, huh? That's fun. The Rav Meir Primer Shlan was a friend of the Rishner, and he once asked him, he said, "We've minig dev kreplach on Shavuos." But none of the Sfarim tell us, you know what kreplach is? It's like a dumpling. It's like a dumpling meal. So he said, but the Sfarim don't say how many kreplach you're supposed to have. So he said, you have one kreplach, but that's obviously too little. You're not even kind of the minig of kreplach with one. But you can't have two, because abi kabbalah, two is dangerous thing. You're not supposed to have pairs in the Gemara and Gittin, right? Zugos. But you can't have three, because three is already like gluttonous, not a pig. So what do? So he sent this a letter to the Rishner. It's Kasha. How many kreplach you and Shavuos? You know what the Rishner said? He said, have one, but make it the size of two. So please share. I have no idea what that means. I'm But for the Rishner Be'emes, it's just making everything big. So that's chora what it was. You don't have to have 15 this, 15 that thousand. One Jew, realize you're the size of two. Realize you're not the rat that everyone in the world tells you are. You know what they tell you in the Western world, the greatest American, they say? You know what a person is? You know what a human being is? You're like a cow, just programmed slightly differently. You know why you say things? You know why you do certain things? This is mamish psychology in 2020. You know why you make decisions? Because you're programmed to based on what number you order in your family. You are no more than a rat. You're just taller. You can stand on two legs. It's not what it means to be a Jew. It's not what it means to let the world say anything to you. The Jew has a chilek olkamim al mamash. The Jew is a king. The Jew is a melech. And Baruch Hashem, we zochet to be tamidim of the Rishner. Tamidim of Malchus. Okay, now we have to. Amen. That's why we had lotus brownies tonight. That's why I'm wearing the fancy vest.
So sharp.
Maze, Amelie.
Your breathing regime. Just go.
Chills. Literal chills.
How did he get all this money?
What do you think?